As you may have noticed in the hallway as you're walking through on the bulletin board, you may see a sheet that says Nominating Committee Report, and it has names and offices of the board. And these officers will be voted upon at the annual meeting by the membership. And the board members are board members for his local assembly. It's not ours, it's his. And the real word definition is board of directors for the corporation of the church, but we always say board. There may be some misunderstanding or little knowledge of what the board does. What constitutes board, what happens at the board meetings, and with the Lord's help, Alan, myself, and Wayne may be able to answer some of those thoughts or misconceptions or misunderstandings that you have. Before we go any further, what is the purpose of the local assembly? Turn to Ephesians 4. In verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The primary purpose of the local assembly is to build up the believers in the most holy faith and to equip them for the work of the ministry. In other words, his local assembly is supposed to bring God to us and also to bring us to God. His local church, his local assembly, does not have any authority. We only have responsibility. We are the body. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of this assembly. He has the authority. We are responsible to him. The board members are responsible and accountable to the Lord for the positions that we hold. We are, you could say, custodians, stewards, or servants of his local assembly. And that includes the church building inside and out, three houses, campgrounds, and also the spiritual welfare of his local assembly. And I'm so thankful it's his, not ours. The board performs all the duties defined by our church constitution and its bylaws and are subject to the majority vote of the congregation unless otherwise specified in the church constitution. Our church constitution and bylaws are founded upon God's word. The constitution, our church constitution was not just formed on feelings of what we thought, what we think. The foundation is God's word. God's word only. We as, and I hope you too, board members are responsible and accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. Board members, we are responsible and accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ, not the pastor. Not to anyone else. I'm not accountable to you. I'm not accountable to anyone else but the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his local assembly, and we are the board members responsible and accountable for taking care of custodial-like, steward-like servants of his local assembly. We have a deep, loving commitment and concern for his church. We don't want anything or anyone to harm the growth and testimony of his local assembly. And that includes us, the board members, individually and collectively. We do not want anything to harm the testimony or the growth. And we're on the front lines. We're accountable, and we know that. It's an awesome responsibility. We love the Lord. We love the brethren. The president of the board is pastor. The office of pastor teacher is a gift. We on the board are not a gift. Some of you thinking, you could have told me that. We know it. We're not a gift. We are not a gift, but the men have been nominated and voted into these positions. And we take it with extreme importance, extreme responsibility, extreme love for the local assembly, extreme love for the Lord. It's not a popularity contest. If I were to have a serious heart operation, and a lot of you are dear to me, but I wouldn't have you operate on my heart. I would want someone who's committed, who knows what they're doing. One of the positions on this nominating committee report that's posted on the board in the hallway is elder. Elders rule in all spiritual matters in cooperation with the pastor. They're responsible for the spiritual welfare of his local assembly. Another position, the deacons. The deacons seek to serve God in his local assembly. Also, they maintain, preserve, and improve all of the property of this local assembly, or we may delegate those certain situations to other people to help with those with that work. That includes, again, church property inside and out, the three houses, the camp, and maybe other properties. The deacons also assist in guiding of the spiritual life of his church. Another position, treasurer. The treasurer oversees the financial aspects of the local assembly. Another position, church clerk. Keeps accurate minutes of all the board meetings and all the business meetings that we have. What goes on in the board meetings? Just how are they? How are they ran? A lot of people have questions. Just what goes on? Well, maybe we can answer that question also. The board meetings are moderated by pastor according to the church constitution. It is not controlled in a dictatorial manner. We don't have anybody in the board saying, you do this, you do that, commanding us. It is none of that at all. When we deal with issues, each member of the board is asked his input. If the issue is not settled, then it will be set aside until all the men can reach a common consensus in the Lord. No issue goes forward unless there is a oneness in Christ. Now, if it's a situation where in God's word, God says, this is the way it is, we don't vote on it. We just amen it. We're taking care, custodians of his local assembly. The board meetings. Always, 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 we begin in prayer and we end in prayer. And we're in a constant prayer-like attitude throughout the session. Throughout the session, we're constantly seeking the Lord's wisdom in every decision that we make. In every matter, no matter how small it is, it's not too small for the Lord. Minutes of the last board meeting are read. And we are to look at the minutes to see if there are any corrections need to be made or any omissions. We have a treasurer's report that is read to us, stating our financial situation as we go. Old business matters are brought to our attention also, unless to see if any of them have to be updated. New business matters are discussed. Concerns for those in assembly who have special needs. Are there any property issues that may need attention? Are there any things that any of the assembly have brought to the board for our attention that we need to address? We discuss those also. Sometimes we have candidates for membership. They meet with us. And it is a time when prospective members share with the board, and it is a blessed time for all involved. Each board meeting, one of the board members shares a devotional thought that encourages us and glorifies the Lord. We end each meeting in prayer. All of us, and our hearts are encouraged in the Lord, constantly seeking His wisdom for His local assembly. We are so thankful for His local assembly, His word, for pastor and the brethren, that in the midst of all that is going on, He is still the head of this local assembly, and He is coming quickly.
Pastor had asked us to discuss the board in light of the upcoming annual meeting. And we tried to establish, you know, what the purpose of the board is, and Jim helped us out a lot with that, and how some of those things are, how the meetings are conducted. I find that it's a learning experience every time I go to a board meeting. It's a good learning experience. You know, in a normal business or I guess a corporate situation, well, there's always experts. I'm afraid we don't have any experts. And every one of us would probably stand up, I'm sure we'd stand up there and say, no. We might have leanings that we know a little bit more about. And collectively, we could tell you all kinds of ways not to do something. But it's been a wonderful experience to meet with the men, and as Jim said, we start with prayer, and that is true. And we seek God's will for that business that night. And the business that night might be to discuss phone book ads. You say, well, how can that possibly be? There's nothing too small that God isn't interested in, or God has a purpose in it. And maybe that purpose is just to arrange our thoughts so that we collectively come up with His will, to seek it. And how much is that like what we have to do every day? When we wake up in the morning, we choose, I guess, yeah, we do. We choose how we wake up. Am I going to be happy? Am I going to be sad? Am I one of those people that wakes up early in the morning and, you know, I'm like a crocodile with my tail bent? I don't talk to anybody. I don't this. I just wake up in the morning and I lay there and I think, Lord, thank you. Thank you for another day. And I even did that when I was working. It's easy to do when you're retired. But even when you're working, especially if you got some problems, and I know none of you have problems at work or school. None of you. But how great is it to wake up and start the day, even just before you get out of bed, to consciously think, what would God have me to do today? How will God affect, and you can run those situations by Him. He already knows about them. But go ahead and run them by Him anyway. And He will move you so that you're better prepared. It's very similar, and that's what the board in their initial opening prayer, we're looking for God's will. Whatever the business may be that night, It does follow some order, which is a good thing. One of the things that Jim brought up was the church clerk. I was on a board at another assembly one time, and I found, after counseling with Pastor quite a bit, because it didn't work out too well. Well, what did the minutes say? Don't have any minutes. Do you realize how important it is to be able to put down, and if something came up, you said, well, we didn't like what happened here, here, and here. Well, let me tell you, we can go to the minutes, and we can approach that and show it to anybody. That's what we discussed. That's how it came up. That's what we sought God's will to do, decently and in order. That's what it's all about. Do we do things decently and in order? We try. We really do. After you've done all these important things at the board meeting, we close in prayer. And really what it is, it's thank you for letting us have your will, showing us your will. And again, as Jim brought up, if it doesn't all come together and we all go around the table and say, yes, no, then it's not going to, we'll table it and we'll come back to it next month. Or if a meeting is needed before that. Go with me to 1 Timothy 3:10, please. Verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy and filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. There are requirements that God lays out. Do I meet all those requirements that God has laid out? Lord, you know my heart. You know my heart. I'm not using the office for something. It's as Nehemiah was building the wall. Let me jump over there for a minute. And when he got the wall all built up and everything else, Sanballat and his other friends out there in the desert sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing your work, so I cannot come down. That was his answer. They said, come on down, let's talk about things. It's interesting because I believe when you're involved in the board or when you're involved in what the church is doing, annual meetings, very, very important. I'm doing an important work. Not for my honor or my glory, but for his. What will he do? He protects this assembly more than what we could ever ask or think. He protects you and I more than we could ever ask or think. It's a wonderful thing. How does a board function? You know, I guess my first, and I don't know what your first experience with the board was, but it's probably for membership. And I remember, you know, coming and you're kind of, what are they going to ask? Look, do you really have to be able to explain every doctrine? Have you read the Bible 7 times? And you come there, and I think we've all had that experience. We come away and we say, that was good. That was good. They asked me questions, whereas Larry Larson used to tell me, he says, we're here to be inspectors to see if there's life. Show me life. And that's really what it comes down to. It's not about us. We don't want it to be about us. We want it to be about what God wants in his time, in his way, for this assembly. And the different things that come up, we just went through the estimated budget, which will be presented in the annual meeting. It's an exercise that's very good. It's improved over the course of the years because though we don't have experts, we have found somebody that actually can, you know, keep what last year's was, and we got last year's expense from the treasurers where they went. And, you know, we have all of that information, so it makes it a lot easier. I can remember the days when we used to come in and say, well, what do you think about that? You know what the big one is snow plowing. You're not thinking about paying for the snow plowing right now. You could be thinking for the end of the year, too, because, you know, it kind of goes through. Some years you get buried with snow, other years you don't. We give it to God. We look at it. We make the best that we can do, that we all talk about. And God has always worked things out. One of the other things that we really try to focus on is when we're doing a budget, how much are we doing for outreach? How's our outreach? What was our outreach budget for last year? What's our outreach budget for this year? Because the assembly is here to grow the believer, strengthen, help you to be more in contact with him, that you're right like this. But as we're right like this, we should be doing something in this outreach. So it's a good thing. Are we going to do some newspaper ads? Which ones? Which ones are giving us results? It's always discussed prayerfully, and we always set it out to try to do the outreach effectively. Jim hit it on the nose when he said, what's the purpose of the church? And it's right out of the Constitution. The object of the church is to glorify God and the edification of Christians through the teaching of God's word, the salvation of souls, the worldwide proclamation of God's saving grace expressed in the shed blood and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, the promotion of godly worship, the defense of the faith once delivered, and cooperation with Christian activity functioning in harmony with God's holy word, the Bible, until he comes. This is an important work. You and I are engaged in important work. We're just a board. We try to funnel it into a... And oh, by the way, it's to help each other as we go through around the table and different things. You share different things. How can I help? What can I say that might, and again, taking you back to God's word and the principles in God's word, that we share that? It's not like those things that we get out in public with and, I don't think that, or we're going to put this over here and that over here. And number one, we don't need it. What we need is God's will in our hearts, together as a board, coming out to you, the assembly, the congregation, and presenting things that are honoring to him. That's what it's about. I think we probably have crossed over different things as far as how we planned maybe to go do this, purpose, what we do. We've had outreach where the board, and we will probably do more, where we've asked different men to come in and sit for times at the board meeting just to see what we do. We've asked for the men's meeting to coincide with the board meeting to discuss things that they might see. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You know, the translation, as I was looking it up, of a deacon, says it signifies a servant, which is true. And then I found another definition down farther that I don't know who created. It says it's an ecclesiastic charged with the temporal affairs of the church. I believe that it would be really, you know, nobody likes confrontation. And sometimes the board is a place where the confrontation finds itself. It'd be nice to say, hey, I'm just a deacon. I'll take care of the temporal things. Call me when it's all done. But no, it really, you have to contribute. You have to be a part. And you share. You share that burden. You learn. You learn when to be quiet and listen. And you learn when to speak as God would move you, that you have something important to add. It would be really nice. I don't believe that it's just that temporal affair of the church. Yeah, that's part of it. Keep the doors open, keep the heat on, the lights. That's all important. But it's also to see hearts moved. Hearts moved. That's a hard thing to see. It's a wonderful thing to see. It's a good thing when it happens to us. Our heart is moved. We appreciate immensely what the church, you, the congregation, does to help here in the assembly. The skills that you contribute, the time that you put in, it's keeping the place clean. The people that come for work day. It's a wonderful thing. And it's, I don't know if you find it in other places. I'm just so happy that the Lord has it here. We really do thank you. So I don't know. I think mine was what the board does or something, but purpose, what it does. If you have a question, feel free to ask any one of the board members. I mean, we can always say, oh, no, that's confidential. We can't tell you that. That means we don't know. No. Please. I mean, we really do appreciate the congregation, and we appreciate the prayers that you raise up for us as a board, for pastor, for all the word and all of the different things that happens here. It makes a difference. It really does. My God's a real God. And he's coming again.
Okay. Changing gears a little bit here. I'm going to talk about the nominating committee. We post a nominating report. What's involved in the nominating committee? How do we come up with candidates? What we do is we get a big hat, we put names in it, and then we draw them out. No. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, they're meeting to replace Judas. They need 12 apostles. They only have 11. So picking up in verse 21, wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Two men they chose out of all of them. But they weren't done. Verse 24, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. They're looking for the Lord to show them who he wants, not who they want. Verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and the apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his place, his own place. I'm interested in that prayer. They prayed before they even nominated anybody, before they picked anybody. They prayed, God, what is your choice? What is your will for this? One more place in Acts, over a few pages, chapter 6. In verse 6:3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Skipping to verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So they chose these men who were full of the Holy Spirit, etc. But it didn't end there either. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles. And what did they do? And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Prayer, as was shared, we begin the board meeting with prayer, we end with prayer. Same thing here, prayer. Prayer is very important, looking to the Lord. Now the nominating committee, who is on the nominating committee? Nominating committee is made up of the board of elders and pastor. What's the function of the nominating committee? Is to prayerfully consider the need for leadership within the assembly in the present situation. In the light of God's word, considering the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That's the function. What's the responsibility of the committee? It's to honor and heed God's word, outworking God's order, not our order, not our opinion, not our choice. That's our responsibility. We also have a responsibility to the assembly of believers. And that's you. And our responsibility is to do right before God in respect of God's glory and blessings. Regardless of our ways, regardless of our wants, what does God want? We are to leave the flesh out of this and to be free to follow the word of God. Now, that was just I'm going to go through this in Reader's Digest sort of thing, a condensed version. The nominating committee has a whole sheet of procedures. Couple pages, qualifications, everything that we go by. I'm not going to go through all this. It's very detailed. But I am going to give you a general outline of what we do. I'm getting over a cold here. We go through a series of rounds in order to systematically discern God's will and working for the assembly. So round one, the first thing we do is we get a list of all the male members in good standing, and we review it, membership list. We take all the males, look for all the males, and we go through it. And what are we looking for? We're looking for healthy, maturing believers. A no-so believer. A believer who's been baptized. A member in faithful attendance at all regular services of the church. Two, one who's not pointing out to whosoever will hear what's wrong in Sunday school. What's wrong with the worship service? What's wrong with pastor? What's wrong with the elders? What's wrong with the board? In other words, we don't want anyone who is a sower of discord among the brethren. Number three, one who gladly and willingly confesses and acknowledges the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal living Savior. No matter how things are going in their lives, whether things are going easy or hard, they resting on the Lord Jesus Christ. One who is God-conscious and God-dependent. In other words, a spiritual man, that is one who is in fellowship with the Lord and who puts God first. Who comes first? It's an interesting thing. Who comes first on Sundays, for example? Looking for one who knows why he is in the local assembly. And we talked about that, what the local assembly is. Realizing that the local church is where God is witnessing and where God is working in the believer. And for one who practices good stewardship is another one. He understands tithing and goes beyond that to help carry out the business of the church, setting an example, sets examples for others. One who is spiritual and mentally in mental harmony with the constitution, the doctrine, practice, policy of the church. One who is stable in character, spiritual in outlook, not ambitious for position, power, not a power-hungry person. That's all in round one. And when we go through that and evaluate that and pick out those that fit that description, and it has to be a unanimous thing. We all have to agree to that. Now we have those men. And I might add, before going any further, none of us are perfect. There's only one person that's perfect on the board, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of us all have our faults and frailties. So that's the first round. Now, round number two. We take into consideration the particular positions of leadership that we're looking for in light of biblical requirements. We're talking about elders, deacons, treasurer, and church clerk. That's the next round. We review the biblical and constitutional requirements for each office to be considered. Not only do elders have qualifications and deacons have qualifications, but the treasurer has qualifications, the church clerk has qualifications. Go to the Constitution, look it up. They have the qualifications there. Those are the things that we're looking for. We consider their work and the worker, the kinds of desires, the kinds of abilities, the kinds of human relations that are needed for handling the job. We take note of the lack of desire, ability, human relations, getting along with other people. How do you get along with other people? For example, desire is present, but there's no ability, there's no human relations. Person doesn't get along with anybody, but he might have a desire for the position. Or he might have the ability, but no desire. Or he might get along great with people and have a desire, but no ability. So all these things we look at. Can this person do business with God for us and together with us? Is he a team player? Is he a team man, a team player? A submissive servant of and under the Lord Jesus Christ? Does he stand with us? Will he stand with us and stay in the battle for the glory of God? When each man is weighed in this round, we weigh and evaluate each one, only those with a unanimous vote will be considered for round three. And round three is for the elders and deacons. So now, the list keeps getting smaller and smaller. Round three. We go over the men to be considered at this time in view of what is needed. Again, we begin. We prayerfully pause, then petition the Lord for his mind concerning these men, just as we read in Acts. Lord, who do you want us to choose between Matthias and Justice? So we pause, petition the Lord for his mind concerning these men. We will consider the men in the light of the present needs of the assembly, needs of the board, existing conditions. Do we need an elder? Do we need a deacon? Two deacons? Whatever. Then we prayerfully proceed to select men that they might be interviewed. Out of that, we've narrowed it down. Round four. The nominating committee will then meet with each man willing to be interviewed individually in the presence of the Lord to prayerfully gain the mind of the Lord for this person at this time. Some men may not be willing. You may approach them. We came up with names. You may approach them. I don't want to do it or whatever. We're looking for those that are willing. Once we do that, we go over and then the committee meets, come to a decision, and the results are then posted on the board, as we said, at least three Sundays before the annual meeting. But then what happens? We present the candidates at the annual meeting. And the assembly then will prayerfully consider and vote at the business meeting where such is to take place. How conscious are we at the business meeting when this happens for these men as we come forward? We need to remember that the leadership in the local assembly, the pastor, elders, deacons, etc., are responsible, as was said, and accountable to our Lord for their position. But we are also responsible and accountable to God's assembly of saints to be those men that we should be. We are accountable to the Lord, but we are also accountable to you. Thus, I want to close in Hebrews, chapter 13. So you can see this process is not something we take lightly. It's very lengthy. A lot of prayer is involved. We have to leave ourselves out of it. Well, I like this guy, I like that guy. No, it has nothing to do with that. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Skipping down to verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Again, accountable. We are accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his assembly. And one last place, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So those of us on the board, the officers, need your prayers. It's not an easy task, what we do. It's not just a get-together, time for pizza, or whatever. It's very serious work that we do. And it has to do with our souls. And we are accountable to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that, I just wanted to let you know what goes on in nominating these people. It's not a task that we take lightly, and it's one that we are in constant prayer about, even as we go through it.
I want to thank each of you three men for what you shared tonight. Much appreciated. That paper that Alan mentioned is available. I think it's back on the racks back there in the overflow room, but if not, see me if you'd like to study those things more in depth. We do have that paper. It's called The Nominating Committee and the Nominating Procedure. Be happy to give you a copy. We are fellow members of the same body, and I'm connected to you, and you're connected to me in an amazing way. Members of the same organism, and we share the same life. We are indwelt by the same Holy Spirit, and we submit to the same head. We're governed by the same Bible. We are fellow members of the same body. These men on the board, they are fellow members of the same body. We belong to each other. We belong to Christ. And you might find it of great interest to do a study on the little words, one another. I think Steve did that once for us. The one another verses. We're to encourage one another. We're to edify one another, build up one another. We're to exhort one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. We're to comfort one another. We're to provoke one another to love and to good works. We're to pray for one another. And many other one another verses. It's a good study.